about serving two masters. So let us start in a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our lesson. Our Lord, our God, our holy, righteous Father above, we come to you as the one, the only God, our only Lord and Savior. Lord, it is our will that we serve you with our whole heart, with our whole mind, with all of our strength, and that we put you first in our lives, and that we serve you as we should, as you have instructed in your pattern that you've given us. Lord, we pray that you help us to remove all other things that come in hindrance with us serving you as our Lord and our Master and our God. We thank you for loving us enough that you sent your Son to this earth to free us of our sins and have us to have a hope of eternal life with you one day. All this we pray through your blessed Son, Jesus' name. Amen. So as we get into this lesson, if you think I'm pointing fingers at anyone, or you think that I'm singling someone out, you should realize this is what my foot looked like after I made up this lesson. So these here are, that's a couple pieces of bone here that shouldn't be there. They should be fused together. That's broken there, that's broken there. So I got a real foot stomping on myself first. So don't think that I was singling anyone out. This lesson definitely was one that I needed to write up and do, because there's a lot of things in here that definitely apply to me just as much as it applies to anyone else in life. So don't go thinking that I'm thinking of anyone else. So so as we get in, as we read in our memory verse, no one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one or love the other. He will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This verse, Matthew 6:24 and Luke 16:13, almost read identical to each other. So the question is, this verse is very clear-cut. It's very easy to understand. We can only really have one master in this life and one God. And God is the master. This goes along with what we see even back in the Old Testament in the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter 20, God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations to those who hate me, but show loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Notice that God is very clear-cut here. He is God. He is the Lord. And we're not to make anything into a God. And we're not to make anything more important than he is. And that worshiping and serving is equal to hating God, as he says back here. But if we love him and keep his commandments, then he will not just show us kindness, but he will show us loving kindness. This goes along with the New Testament. When we see what is the greatest commandment in the law, we see that Jesus answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. So both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see God wants to be put first. He demands it of us. So we understand this. But if we look around in the world that we live in, we have other masters we must serve also. Any of us who have a boss, we have another master. We have to do what he says if we want to keep our jobs. Any of us who are self-employed, well, we still have to answer to other people. We have to answer to the government. And if we don't believe that, then try running a business without the proper licenses or the proper or paying taxes and see where that will get you. Not very far. So we have multiple masters in this life, as we will see in this lesson. What we can't do is let the service of these inferior masters overshadow or take priority over our service to God. What we'll find out in this lesson is it's really about priorities. How do we rank things in life? Do we put things before God or do we put God first? Maybe we think we don't put things before God, but I would ask us to take a hard look at our lives as we go through this lesson and see if we do, in actuality, let things get put before our service to God. So we're going to look at some common masters that we subject ourselves to in this world, and we want to make sure that we don't make them above our service to God. As we read in the scripture reading, the first one we need to look at is our wealth. So there's some things that the Bible says about wealth. So in Psalms 52:7, it says, "Behold, the man who will not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and was strong in his evil desires." In Psalms 49:5-7, it says, "Why should I fear in the days of adversity, when the iniquity of my foes surrounds me? Even those who trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance of their riches, no man can by any means redeem his brother or give a God a ransom for him." In Proverbs 11:28, "He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like the green leaf." In James chapter 4:13, he says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that." James is pretty clear about how we should have our priorities. It shouldn't be about going and making a profit. It should be about, if the Lord wants us to, we'll go do this or that, and he will be with us. So we know that we can't buy our way into heaven. We've heard this all before. We can't take it with us. Gold in heaven is just the same as asphalt down here. But my question to you is this: do you put making money and saving money to such a priority that it affects your Christianity? Do you spend more time figuring out how to save it, invest in it, gain interest, and keep it than how to serve the Lord? When you actually see a brother or sister in need, do you help them out or not? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, "But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him?" Are we like the Pharisees that say, "Sorry, this money is for the Lord. I can't take care of my parents"? Or as we see in Matthew 15, or do we see the church in need or something and we don't contribute? And yes, I wrote this up before Dick ever said anything, so this part has nothing to do with what Dick said, and I didn't know what the things were on the board, so this all came out long before any of that talk. But I know there's several in this congregation. When they see a need for somebody, they need help, they see that the treasury is getting low, they see that something needs to be fixed around here, something on the building that needs funds or something, we need teaching material, or there's something that needs to take care of. They come up with the money, and they find a way to take care of that. These people, they're not looking for praise from us, or honor, or our reward from the members here. They know their reward will be from God for doing these things. The question is, how are we all handling our wealth? Is it just these few that are taking care of things, or are we all using our wealth to the best ability for God? Is accumulating wealth your priority, or is using what God has given you to serve him your priority? This is definitely one thing you need to work out between you and God. Matthew 6:19, we're told, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What treasure are you most worried about? The one here on earth, or the one in heaven with God? Are you making withdrawals from your earthly accounts so that you can make and exchange them for deposits in your heavenly accounts? Only you can answer these things. Let's look at the other side of the coin. So there's wealth. We accumulate a whole bunch of it. But on the other hand, there's debt. American way of life. If we don't have the money for it now, we just put it on credit. We got to have it now. That car, house, furniture, big screen TVs, keeping up with the Joneses. Everyone else has it. I'm not going to be any different than them. Or my absolute favorite one, I deserve this. How many have heard this one? Debt or credit is a tool. Many of us have fallen into that lie. Let's see what God has to say about being in debt. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7, he says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave." In Romans 13, 7 through 9, "Render to all what is due to them. Tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law." So when we are in debt, we put ourselves in slavery to those we owe money to. If we are in slavery, that means we are under some other master. We see in Romans that owing people interferes with our being able to love people and love them the way we should. Owing money to people can lead to very awkward situations, can lead to that it may cause bad feelings to arise between people and put strains on our relationship. Earlier I mentioned the American way of life. The bottom line is that the American way of life is based on coveting. Coveting. When we want others, what others have so bad that we just have to go in debt to get it, what we are really doing is coveting. And if we have to go into debt to get something that we really can't afford, what we should really be telling ourselves is that we really don't need it. I know that we live in a hard society. Things are outrageously expensive, and it's hard to be able to get anything, and nothing is really made to last. We are living in an expensive, disposable society. So things break, and sometimes we have to get them fixed. And we have to go into debt, it seems like. Here's my example for you. If a transmission goes out in your car, it's going to cost about $4,000 to get it fixed. Kids' braces, well, they cost about $5,000. Doesn't it always seem like just the time you get the braces put on the kid, that's when the car breaks? So that's not what I'm talking about. Those aren't the situations I'm looking at. Obviously, those things are going to happen in life. What I'm talking about are those times that we intentionally go into debt just to get things because we know we want them. And so before we know it, we turn around and what we are is buried in debt. We need to look at our priorities. The scriptures tell us that God doesn't want us to live in debt. The only one we would need to be in debt to is Him and Jesus. We need to determine if our debt is causing us not to be the Christians that we should be. Because when we're in debt, we're making it so we can't contribute correctly or help our brothers and sisters when they're in need. Because of our bad debt decisions, how can we put ourselves in? We may be putting ourselves in the position of being that brother and sister who now is in need of our help from our brothers and sisters. Instead of being the ones that can be helping, we're the ones that need the help. Are we so obsessed with our debt that we can't even focus our attention on God like we should? Maybe because we have so much debt, we have to take on a second job. So then we can't teach a class. We can't spend enough time in study or prayer or attend services like we should. So that brings us to work. We all have to work. In our present society, that can take over our lives if we let it. Remember, we work to live, not live to work. So we all have to have some sort of boss. Some have good bosses, some have horrible bosses. God knows that we're going to have to deal with this in this life. So He gives us instructions on how we should act to these masters in our lives. In Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 7, "Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart with good will render service as to the Lord and not to men. So we are to work for these bosses like we're answering directly to Christ as our boss. We're to work and we're to work hard to do the best job we can. And remember, I said in this lesson, it's really about priorities. So we have to ask ourselves some questions about our jobs. Is our working stopping us from putting God first? Does it interfere with our service to God? Does it take up so much of our time that we no longer have room in our life? Does it take up so much time that it is no longer a job, but really it's our life and maybe even our identity? Does my job make me act like a Christian should? Or does it cause me to do things that are unchristianly? Am I acting as God instructed in my job to my boss? You should have to look in the mirror at yourself and determine this. So then we come to our possessions and our time wasters, our property, things like houses, TVs, hobbies, like cars and comic book characters. Kind of combined them here together. Why, Carol? What's your face for? Anyways, computers are time wasters things. We spend more time with these things than studying, praying, and working for the Lord. Here again, it's priorities. Does working on your house, your car, or your hobbies take all your resources and time so that you don't do what God would have you to do? In my neighborhood, when we moved in, all of our houses are about 20 years old. And then there was woods across the way, and now there's been a nice housing development built. All the houses there are at least twice the size of our house. So these are really nice houses. And so I have neighbors. When I come out Sunday morning, they're out working in their yard, doing their things. They've been working all Saturday too, by the way. But they're working on their houses and their yards. When I come home Sunday after church, they're still working on their yards and everything like that. That's their priority in life. It's their house. They're putting everything into it. So it looks good, but they spend all their time and their effort. This could be a car. Maybe it's a hot rod or something that you want or have, or it could be some kind of hobby that you have. The bottom line is that we serve a created thing, and we put it in front of God. That thing becomes an idol. And we know how God feels about idolatry. Don't think that just because someone doesn't bow down and pray to it, that it's not an idol. It truly can become one if we put all of our time, money, and effort into it. And if we are most proud of it in this life, and we choose it over serving God. If we want to know what our priority is, look at what takes the majority of our money, our time, and our effort. These things are serving God. When it comes to our time, do we spend more time watching TV, being on Facebook, or the internet than we do in prayer, study, and service to God? I would urge you to look at how much time you spend doing these two things, TV and computer, and then figure out how much time you spend studying and praying. My guess, most of us would be shocked at how those things balance out. The scale probably doesn't tip very equally, and not in the direction you think. Next, we come to our ideas, opinions, and traditions. This is one of the things that Jesus and the Pharisees had a lot of trouble with. Pharisees, of course, had all their opinions and their traditions of how they thought that God should be worshipped, and they put them above anything else. And they had a lot of conflicts about that with Jesus. But 2,000 years later, this hasn't changed. Many have the same ideas, opinions, and traditions that they thought were correct in service to God. In today's religious world, it still exists. People hold what they believe to be true with more than what the Word of God actually says. I would tell you that a lot of people on this point could probably get offended. If you're offended by anything I say here, honestly, you might have a problem you need to look at. We can never put an idea or opinion over God's word, what God's Word says, especially if it is related to how we serve God. Here are a couple things that you might need to be in trouble with if you're saying them. I think that God, fill in whatever blank you want. I feel that God, again, fill in the blank. I know that God, fill in the blank. I don't believe that God would, fill in the blank. What we should be saying is more of, is what God's word says is this in Scripture. The Bible tells us this in this Scripture. Don't make it about opinions, but about biblical facts. Chad did a whole series on the pattern just a couple of weeks ago. And that's what we are talking about here, God's pattern for us. Part of the series was on what stops people from following the pattern. A lot of it comes down to opinions. You're welcome to listen to these on the webpage. The lessons are there on podcasts. If you missed any or all of this series, I would strongly urge you to listen to these lessons. God has given us the pattern for life and godliness and a pattern on how we are properly to serve Him. It is our job to learn about it and apply it to our lives. Some common opinions we hear out in the religious world. God is love, and He can't send good people to hell. Baptism is not necessary for salvation. Just accept Christ into your heart. Faith only saves me. We are saved by grace alone. Works are not necessary. On personal work level, you might hear opinions like this. I don't need to do that. That's somebody else's responsibility to take care of that job, not mine. I don't need to teach, lead singing, come to work parties. There are others who can do that. I'm not needed. On the opposite, someone may be saying, I'm the only one capable of doing that job, no one else. Someone might also say something like, since this happened to me in the past, God doesn't require me to do that. Or trump card statements, of course, like God knows my heart, or God applies that to other people, not me. All those things are opinions that we need to look at and see if they match up to the Bible. The question is here, are we trying to dictate to God how we're going to worship Him or serve Him? Or are we just so positive we know what He wants us to do that we're not willing to open and search the Scriptures and find out what God has really told us? Are we more concerned with our opinion or the truth? The one thing about the truth is this. It always is, always will be. It always was, always is, and always will be. If it is true, then it doesn't change. No matter our opinion, what society does or thinks, if it was true 2,000 years ago, it's true today, and it will be true tomorrow. And what does the Bible say? In John 14, it says, if you love me, nope, I'm verse ahead. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus says He is the truth. So we need to find out what Jesus says about how we should live our lives so that we can know what the truth is. And He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. The question is, which ones? Of course, the answer is all of them. So how can we know His commandments? The only way is to study the Word to find them out and follow them. How else are we going to know? Are we going to listen to someone else's opinion? It's not very wise. We should follow the example we have in Acts of the Bereans. In Acts 17:11, now these were more nobly minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. If we are putting our ideas, opinions, or even someone else's, or our traditions before what God has actually told us, this is a very dangerous place for us to go. Next, we need to look at family. Family, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, he says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I love my family very much, but I will tell you this much. There is not one member of my family that I am willing to trade my soul for. Maybe you have heard someone say, I would go to hell if my family or so-and-so would be saved. If you really think about that, it is impossible. The Bible doesn't teach salvation that way. As we saw in Psalms 49:7, no man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. We are all judged on our own actions. The truth is, that if we had that mindset, we would pull down them with us. You may say, well, the Bible says we're to lay down our lives for others. In that context, he's talking about our physical life, not our spiritual life. No one can do that for another. The only person who could lay down his life to save anyone spiritually was Jesus. Service to God has to come first, especially in your family. Like I said, this is a lesson about priorities. And the truth is, by putting God first, you can be the example, and you can lead your family in the right way, and they can follow the pattern that they see in you and put God first in their lives and also follow the pattern, and that way they can get salvation. As we stated in the beginning of this lesson, God is very clear throughout the Bible. He is to be first. We are to put Him first. God is Lord, and there are no exceptions. Serving God or serving other things is always our choice. We need to realize that so we can choose to serve God as our ultimate master and make Him our priority. We can choose to serve anything else, whether it be wealth, debt, possessions, jobs, ideas, opinions, traditions, or our family. But it always comes down to this. God says, "You shall have no other gods before me." The question really is tonight, are you putting anything in this world before God? Only you and God can answer this question. But if you need help in these matters, that is why we're here. We're here together to help each other, to encourage each other, to strengthen each other, and to pray for each other. And that way we can serve God correctly, according to His word, and eventually spend eternity with Him. If you need any help in anything, whether it's to become a Christian or to fix things in your life, then now would be the time to come forward as we stand and sing the song that Chad has selected.